And here we are, second two, part two.
Howdy. And yes, we have in studio Marie-Claude Parenteau-Leboeuf, right? Did I get
it? That's right, yes.
Okay. Thank you very much for coming in. You do Montreuil.
Yes.
Can you give me, like, in, I don't know, 10 minutes, 30 seconds, what is Montreuil?
Montreuil. Yes. Actually, it's this is a little joke. When we created, my ex-partner and I, we created Montreuil, we actually chose a French name and an English name, Ruelle being the middle name, and Ruelle being a back alley, which is a very Montreal thing. And we decided, actually, the name comes from his grandmother, and his grandmother was called Madame Ruellin. And we started playing with the ruelle in the Ruellin and decided that it was going to be Ruelle Land and therefore do a joke like the Pont Champlain Bridge. Yes. And it became Montreuil Land. So it's Montreuil in French and it's a Ruel Land in English.
Okay, I missed off the whole land and I just figure everything here is much easier with just dealing with one language.
Of course, but that's how it gets started. So it's all about back alleys and picking up, you know, what people throw away. And it started in 2006 with Hubert Soucy. And we back then we were both making furniture, and we still are. But after a couple of years of you know, finding clients and trying to get stores to sell our wacky stuff, we realized that people were not necessarily comfortable selling our creations among, you know, more normal furniture. So we figured out that the best thing to do would be to open our own gallery boutique, and which is what we did in 2008. And it sort of became another monster at that point, because then we started recruiting, if you will, other eco designers and recycling craftspeople, and it just became bigger than I actually thought it would. So today, almost 2 years later, I have in the gallery about 30 odd creators, conceptors of furniture made out of recycled materials or materials that are recyclable.
Okay. And there, so it's just, so you're taking stuff that has been found, recycling it into stuff that is able to be used, and it's basically furniture type of stuff?
Yeah. Okay. That's what I do. That's my mission. Furniture, lighting, and accessories. So, for instance, I have this one designer who does furniture out of cardboard. Another one who makes objects out of pill bottles.
Okay.
Another one who works with...
Do they have names?
Yeah.
Shout-outs on the radio.
Okay, all right. So Capre Carton is a little company owned by Stéphanie Lévesque, and she's the one who makes cardboard furniture. I've got another one called Marilyn. Marilyn makes the objects, nice bowls out of...
En français?
It's plastic fondue, des bouteilles de pilule fondue.
Okay, melted plastic.
Yeah, and it looks like glass. It's absolutely gorgeous. I have Jenny Belcourt, who makes absolutely gorgeous chairs and benches out of metal structures and skateboards. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Yeah, as you said, do you make 30. Anything yourself?
Yeah, I do. I specialize. My favorite material is whatever comes out of Hydro-Québec's power lines. So when they dismantle power lines, they have high-voltage cable insulators made out of porcelain, among other things. And I use that to make my table legs and so on and so forth.
Okay. So how did you get involved in this? Or in terms of the two steps. First of all, in terms of in your designing, how did you end up starting to design objects using recycled Hydro-Québec materials?
I have a fine arts background. So I went into, when I came to university, I did my bachelor degree in design at Concordia. And my last year of university, I decided that I was going to make furniture because we had to choose between two-dimensional and three-dimensional work. So, and of course, I was more a space person, so or a spatial. And so I decided to make furniture, and because I had very little money and I had realized moving to Montreal that people were just throwing things out, there was no reason for me to buy any new materials. I was just going to recycle whatever would inspire me. And so that's how I got started, and that was back in 92, 93.
And how did you discover the Hydro-Québec stuff?
Oh, that came later. That came 10 years later when I had an order from a client who wanted coffee tables, and this guy works in telecommunications. And I was actually walking around a scrapyard trying to find something that would inspire me to make his coffee tables. And I suddenly found these absolutely gorgeous porcelains. They're about 75 pounds each. And they were white porcelain made in Japan, and they were just sitting there. And I just thought, oh my gosh, these would be like amazing table legs. So that's how it got started.
Okay, so then do you have now go directly to Hydro-Québec, or are you still going through a
middleman? No, you can't go directly. Unfortunately, you can't go directly to Hydro-Québec. You have to go through the subcontractors who actually recycle and salvage all the pieces from their lines.
Okay, and there the second part is then how did you end up with the space that you have?
Oh, the gallery.
Yes, the gallery.
Yeah. I was working in the east part of town. I had a studio there, and a new building was being renovated, and their mission was to dedicate the whole building to artist studios, which would mean, among other things, that we would never get kicked out because it's being transformed into condos, right? And the ground floor had an amazing space with beautiful windows. And I just thought, okay, this is it. This is our chance. If we want, a place to rent that, it's not too expensive, then we can probably have this. And we can invite people and create events and exhibits, to bring people here, because of course it's not Saint-Laurent, it's on Parthenay, so it's
it's a little bit far.
It's a little bit. Well, it's less and less far. It's not as bad as it used to be. There's a lot more pedestrians walking by and circulations. But anyway, so I ended up with that. So I rented that space, and I was just taking a chance. Really, I had no clue how things would go. But then I realized that I had to organize events to really bring people in and to make Mondruel known. Mm-hmm. So I started with the Highlight Ball, or the Bal des Lampes, in February 2009. And that's how I got started. So I do about four or five events a year, different exhibits with different themes, just to have a nice setup, a different environment for people to see the furniture in. And that's also another way to stimulate the artists and the designers to create new things, on new topics or new themes.
Okay, and so what do you have now?
Oh, it's called Like in a Cocoon, Comme dans un Cocon. Mm-hmm. And for the first time in the life of the gallery, I have enough furniture and lighting and accessories in store to create an entire apartment. Okay. So with the 1,000 square feet that I have, I've created a loft-style apartment where we have, sort of like the entrance hall, and then the dining room, bedroom, living room, and home office for children and for the parents, or for adults. So, and everything is there. I mean, from kitchen, funky kitchen accessories like cutting boards to a dining room table to a bed to everything.
Okay. And how long are you having this the event exhibit?
It started September 10th, and it goes on until November 10th. And a week later, I have, of course, the Christmas show that's coming in. The setup might not change much, but we'll see. I keep some things for the last minute to make up decisions.
Okay.
But I have new furniture coming in early October, so new creations. So that's very exciting.
Is this from new designers, or?
I have some new designers, and I have some people that have already been in the gallery since for a year now, and they're just bringing in new stuff.
Okay. How do you go about choosing who gets to get into the gallery?
Same process as any other art galleries or furniture store, really. I mean, it's I guess I'm the creator or the so I just I figured, it has to be, in order to make this sort of segment or niche of furniture credible to the, the public, the quality has to be impeccable. And I guess the artistic sort of touch to it as well. Mm. So that's how I make my decision. Okay. I mean, it's, of course, it's always personal to a certain degree. Mm. But I try to also see it from the public's perspective and not just my own liking. So I may not like certain pieces, but I know people will like them.
And so you're open if somebody approaches you and says, here, I got this stuff. Would you put it into your gallery? You are open to them as opposed to you going out and finding people?
I used to do. So this is how I got started. I used to have to find people. Now I would say I receive one portfolio at least a week.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
No, it's not bad. Now, whether, you know, these people are regular, you know, they regularly produce furniture or they do that on a, you know, more dilettante, you know, fashion, then that's a different story. But, you know, there's a whole lot of talent, hidden talent in Montreal. So,
and yes, speaking of hidden talent, what is the address?
Oh, so it's 2205 Rue Parthenay, 2205 Rue Parthenay.
Mm-hmm. And what are your hours gallery hours? Or
yeah, it's from Thursday to Sunday.
Thursday to Sunday?
From noon to 7 on Thursday and Friday, and from noon to 5 on Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, okay, and is there a website?
Yes.
And
it would be mondreuel.com.
Which is for the blokes in the house, mondreuelle.com.
Yes.
Cool. Well, thank you very, very much for coming in.
You're
especially
very welcome.
At this early in the morning.
Well, at least you got me, get me awake now.
Get lots of stuff done when you wake up this early in the morning.
Exactly.
And so, Liz, you got something?
Yes. We're always on the ball here.